from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, at least you know what's going on.
This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, here we are, second Monday of the month, and seems like it's an every month affair with Tony Pantelaresco trying to connect. Well, things happen. Just depends on, you know, your life and how it goes and though it goes and there it goes. So we'll see what's up and see if he can come through. If not, we're going to do something else. Not sure. Well, we can see if Adam's around. His phone didn't work. His Hold on a minute. Give me the number again. I just gave you the number. Okay. Well, this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Sorry for the delay. I've been trying to get in touch with Tony for 20 minutes. It's Monday. We have good stuff for you tomorrow. There's a terrific lady in San Antonio that's doing some things. I think, let's see what this is. Hello?
Yeah. Does this sound better?
Well, yeah, I can actually hear you.
Really?
I mean, what a concept.
Before,
oh man, before it was like, oh man.
Okay.
So your computer, you can't do Skype, huh?
I'm going to go back downstairs with the phone and see if I don't know what happened. It's been working on it for 20 minutes trying to get it booted up properly. I have no idea what happened between now and Saturday, but it seems to be the
chemtrails.
Oh well, that's a concept.
Probably chemtrails. Okay, so Tony's here. We're going to do it. Here's our phone number: 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. It's a shame you don't like have a magic formula you can put in your bathtub and do the computer thing, but I guess it doesn't work on that. You can do trisodium phosphate, and now it doesn't work like that.
There is that aspect.
Yeah. Hey Tony, what's your favorite thing for this whole leaky? Do you think this leaky gut concept thing that folks talk about every time you turn around is a real what? Do you think what they're talking about, whoever they are, is accurate?
The cause may be questionable. I mean, based on my...
No, I understand that. But, I mean, the actual thing that the gut gets leaky and causes problems...
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. There's no question about it. Just on a nano aspect alone, particulates alone would perforate the colon as they penetrate and bypass the system and would cause all kinds of damage, tissue damage, organ damage, functional damage. It could even damage the way your colon operates in regard to how it breaks down, how things break down. Mm-hmm. With the layer of biofilm that would accumulate in the colon alone, and how that would disrupt and cause tearing and penetration is mind-boggling. You know, have you heard the term rope worms?
Sure, yeah, we know rope worms.
Worms are not worms, they are biofilm, which has accumulated as a result of the nanoparticulates which have accumulated in the colon. I just did a show last week, and on the sensors they're putting on the plants to moderate the plants so you can see whether they need to be watered or whatever the situation may be. Well, those sensors or smart dusters are throwing on now, not only on the soil but on the plant alone, has been accumulated in most of us for 30 years. So as a result, we've got a lot of metallic technology inside the colon that's just causing a lot of this damage. I found this out just from creating my own pulsing devices that I've used on myself. And after a couple of sessions, I was starting to see all this dust come out of my colon. And I realized what that was. That was 30 years of accumulation of nano dust, smart dust, sensors they've been putting in the crop for a long time. But they don't take that out. You can't wash that off. That goes, that's embedded right into the very very fiber, very core of the plant itself. It's embedded. So everybody's eating this, whether it's organic, inorganic, whatever. You know, it's there. Plus, on top of that, with the chemtrailing as well, again, we're talking nanoparticulates. And even if we weren't talking chemtrail, let's just even forget that for 1 second. If we were talking about ultrafine particles or nanoparticles that were released in the atmosphere just from the coal producing stacks, the automotive industry, the manufacturing industry of steel, all these pollutants that were released in the air wound up in the food supply.
Okay.
And in the food supply alone.
Yeah. So let's talk about your favorite ways to really heal this gut up. What are some of your really go-to things that you talk to people about who call you up? And
usually I get them on the sodium thiosulfate for first and foremost, because that will really flush out and pull out a lot of this dust.
Tell people what that is. We have a lot of new folks listening. Sodium thiosulfate.
Sodium thiosulfate.
It's actually, what is it? It's a chemical, isn't it?
It's a salt.
It's a salt. It's a salt, and you can get that on, what is it, chemicalstore.com. I think you can actually get on Amazon, too.
You can get it almost anywhere. I mean, yeah. since we talked about this years ago, before we started talking about it, you didn't see it anywhere. Now it's just about everywhere.
Yeah.
YouTube's got it, you know, talking about it. Amazon's got it now. eBay's got it now.
What does it do?
I'm sorry?
What does it do?
Basically pulls everything out that's not supposed to be there. It's a stripper. It's an effective stripper. It has its own chelating components to it. You have to, if you do use this, you must use either a high powerful probiotic or yogurt or kefir,
mm-hmm.
anything fermented in the dairy realm. You have to increase the mineral content in the body, because if you don't, this thing will strip, doesn't discriminate. So it will pull a lot of this stuff out. And once that starts to go, you'll notice a lot of people who have this puffy, bulgy gut below the belly button will start to see that flatten out. Hmm. You know, literally, it will flatten out. And as a result, you'll lose body mass. The body mass composition will go down. You don't eat as much afterwards because primarily these things have been blocking the ducts inside the colon that absorb the actual nutrition are now opened up again, and all of a sudden you are now able to digest properly. And again, if they got any kind of itis in the intestinal tract, I get them on colostrum, I get them on MSM, I get them on quercetin, I have them eat onions, I have them use alpha-lipoic acid, all kinds of different things that can actually help regenerate and regrow the colon back.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about a little bit. Hold on a second. Let's not go too fast here. Sodium thiosulfate is what Tony's talking about, and you can go on Amazon, click on through our site if you would. It's sodium thiosulfate. You can get pure 99.5% fine crystals, 1 pound for, what, $7.89. I mean, that's pretty cheap. So tell folks, if this would be the first thing they do, boy, there's a lot of different ones to choose from, too, man. It's all over the place. How would you use it? For somebody who's never used it before, how would you use it? What would be the first time how you would use it?
Get a clothespin first time you use it.
What's that?
Get a clothespin first time you use it. Put it over your nose.
It's a little smelly when it comes out. It's just kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's especially when it comes out.
Yeah.
1 teaspoon of sodium thiosulfate with 1 teaspoon of ascorbic acid. Dissolve them in water, any volume.
Mm-hmm.
Get down. You need to chase it down with more water, do so afterwards. And again, just allow it to get in the system. If there's any urge whatsoever to go to the washroom, by all means, go. Do not wait. Do not think you're going to get by the morning. If it's the first part of the night, get up, go to the washroom, prepare for an explosion of a release, and go
usually,
from there.
Usually takes 8 to 10 hours or so to go through.
It depends. When we put that out, most people, I'd say 75 to 80% of the people that we're giving it to, that's the reaction normally they would get. Some people, it took 3 weeks. Some people took the second batch. The first batch did hardly nothing.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah, that even astounded me.
Boy, the first time I did, man, it was like, what? It was like, holy camole. So how many teaspoons, Tony Pantelorusco, do you think one would, I guess everybody's different, but in general, to do the stripping thing before you start rebuilding?
The moment you start taking the stuff out and start putting the other stuff back in, the rebuilding will begin almost immediately.
Okay, so you do start with the colostrum, the sulfur, all the other stuff right away?
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, you got to take it. You should be taking it at the same time because, again, once the debris, and I call it debris,
sure,
in the gut is removed, and once the load in the gut has been reduced that dramatically, your system will start to, again, begin to rebuild that and function. Now, again, giving it what it needs to rebuild is going to be a very...
Yeah, well, we'll get into that, but let's stick here. So you would, even if you were going to do it more than once, you'd start to go ahead and do the other good stuff in? Wouldn't that just be wasting it? Or
no, because, again, during the day, once you flush out, you got to replace it anyway. You got to put the probiotic in, you got to put the yogurt in, and that these also repair the colon.
Sure. Oh, so these won't wash out the next time because they're the good guys.
Well, you'll have used
no,
it up.
No, you would, though. Okay, so do you normally have to do more than one teaspoon hit?
Not normally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, not really.
I know. It's hard
but
to
most,
say.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know.
And kind of feel if you kind of say, well, that's enough for now, that kind of thing.
Usually I go 30 days with
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
Certain other method that was out there, but usually for the first time, I get people in a 30-day cycle because they're so loaded with so much, like I say, debris in the gut that, between the transgenics, genetics, epigenetics, the...
Progenetics, transgenders, you know, it's everything. It's like so, Tony, a couple questions. Is this the same kind of stuff that... you know, when you did these cleanses, remember in the hippie days, 10, 20 years ago, I remember, or some of the more famous ones, and people would get out what they said were these ropey kind of black stuff. Is that the same thing that they claim they were coming out? Do you know what I mean? These different cleanses?
You know what? I really don't know.
You don't know? Yeah.
Today, after, like I said, after seeing so much with the, like I said, with the nano and all the other things that have come out of that and the biofilm build up. I don't know what they were seeing, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I think I remember what you're saying.
You know what? They were like it was
like those black.
Yeah, right. Like a tire kind of thing that it was encasing the colon.
I think, you know what? It may have been biofilm as well.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
mm-hmm.
Thinking back, I mean, I've never thought about it since now that you brought it up. I mean, looking back and thinking about it now, that could have been, it could have been industrial pollution. That could have been metals that they were having in the food supply. It definitely would have been a lot of biofilm there because the biofilm would have accumulated very heavily there.
Mm-hmm. How is it, I wonder, if you get all this biofilm thing over, that the gut can actually even leak? Isn't that just clogging everything up?
Not necessarily. Because the nature of the biofilm and the nature of what it's holding, it could very well concentrate the burrowing in or burrowing out from the colon. It does form some kind of barrier, but the stuff inside is still active. So it starts to, again, accumulate, it starts to replicate, it starts to assemble. And then it starts to attach itself to whatever it's going to attach to. It actually uses the biofilm to assemble itself. So initially, there may be some kind of coating, but it goes right through.
Is it work? Is this happen in the stomach and the small intestine too, or just in the colon?
Everywhere. Hmm. I mean, people that are having the lesions and stuff forming. This is what's happening: is the skin itself is loaded with bacteria, and the ground-based bacteria has now gone airborne because of the heavy particulate and heavy metallic material in the air. Because that's what biofilm does. It collects on metals or on synthetics to try to contain or whatever. Now, this is landing on the people's skin, which is causing the skin to become damaged as a result of this accumulated biofilm that's attaching itself to your bacteria. It now burrows itself down into your skin as well as coming out of the skin. So it's basically can assemble from the top down or bottom up. Same thing would go on in the colon, except it's getting from whatever way it's getting it in. So, no, it will penetrate, it will permeate, and then it will even use the material to grow inside the colon. So, yeah, the leaky gut is just one aspect. That's all these intestinal issues that are going on today, whatever itis you want to attach to the end to it, the colitis, you know, irritable bowels.
Sure. Lots of them. Wow, lots of them.
Different stages of the same condition.
Yeah. Okay, so let's take a little break here. We got started late. And then we're going to dig in and just get a whole list of things that Tony will suggest after all of his experience. And he's got a lot of it talking to people around the world of to heal the gut up. And that'll be a nice place to start here. It's November 13th, 2017. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. If you'd like to join the show this morning, 888-663-6386. Email Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. The email for Tony Pentelarusco.
Know the source on One Radio Network.
Okay, with Tony Pentelarusco, it is augmentinforce.com. He has about 550,000 YouTube videos. He's second only to Kim Kardashian in the YouTube videos, so this is good. And, well, maybe not Kim, but... So, Tony, let's kind of go down the top of your list. So, if people feel like they've got some things going on in their gut like you talk about, they want to try the STS, they want to strip this baby out, and now they want to go in and start building up. So what are some of your things?
Some of the simplest things would be like cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese, really? Just like good, full-fat, organic cottage cheese. What does that do?
It's got high concentrations of glutamine, which will help, again, in the reconstruction and repairing of the colon.
Mm-hmm.
Your yogurts, full-fat, again, same thing. They've done studies with yogurt and certain strains. They've actually been able to regrow a colon.
Wow.
MSM, quercetin, these are sulfurs that actually help, again, regenerate and rebuild the colon as well. MSM and colostrum can actually stop a leaky gut or, again, the way it can go in and how it repairs.
We've heard that. Do you think that's true? Yeah, Dynavitalis has suggested, and the sulfur people suggest with colostrum it does. So you've seen evidence of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Over the years, for sure.
Wow. So sure. I wonder what it is, the sulfur and the colostrum. They just like it together with each other?
The MSM has got the sulfur content to it. So what it's doing, it's helping, again, pull out some of the metals. It again, sulfur is part of the muscle building or even tissue building process as well. Sometimes I'm even adding chlorides now. I'm using different types of chlorides to break up the biofilm in the gut, cobalt chloride, copper chloride, sodium chloride, calcium chloride, magnesium chloride, potassium chloride.
Do you need those if you're going to do the STS?
I have been finding more and more now that people who've got even in just general infections in the body that don't seem to want to heal with any format that they're using.
Hmm.
Once you get them on those chlorides, all of a sudden there's a transition and transformation that's going on that's just phenomenal.
Hmm. Chlorides, different chlorides.
Different chloride, copper. Copper is the go-to everything. As far as I can see and what I'm seeing with the repair, copper, zinc, these two are very crucial. I mean, they produce the SOD. But copper, in my humble estimation, they have overestimated the danger and underestimated its value. It is so key to a lot of the issues everybody's dealing with today, whether they be skin issues, brain issues, organ issues, joint issues, collagen issues, infectious issues that are, again, don't seem to be going away. I don't even believe that 90% of women or even 99% of women are having actual yeast infections, but what I'm seeing more and more is more of a biofilm buildup that's accumulated in there, through the whole lower region there. And so once you start getting them on these chlorides, all of a sudden there's this release of this biofilm and it seems to just start to come out in droves, literally. So
you've said that you like this liquid chlorophyll. We have one in our store. That's a nice source of copper and pretty nice tasting. It's got a little mint thing to it.
You talking about the Bernard Jensen's?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, for people who haven't gotten that advanced, it's really a good source to go to. It's one of the cleanest sources out there on the market. There's a couple products out there, but that one is the one I usually, because that one seems to be the most popular. You can pretty well find that anywhere.
Yeah, and it's very inexpensive, and you can put it in smoothies and or whatever. It goes pretty well with chocolate.
It goes almost anything. You put in your coffee, your tea, anything.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I would add zinc, a little zinc with it. I may even add and I've been experimenting with this, with cobalt chloride. You can actually make these things at home. Copper chloride is very simple to make. All you need is muriatic acid, peroxide, 50-50, piece of copper, that's 99% copper, 99.9% copper, throw it in there. In 12 hours, it'll dissolve it completely down. Then add a little baking soda, a couple of sessions of baking soda, filter it out, and you just made your own copper chloride.
Copper chloride. And if you were just going to buy copper chloride on the market, would it be in a capsule?
It'd be in a powder form.
Powder.
You'd have to turn it into a solution.
Yeah.
So the next one working on will be zinc chloride. That's the next one I'm going to be looking at.
What's your favorite way to take in zinc, extra zinc? And don't we all need a little bit of the boron to make sure the zinc works? Or did you say that, or did I read that somewhere?
Maybe we read it. I mean, it's a possibility. They all work together because boron is a salt as well. So, you know, when you're looking at zinc, you have boron, copper, manganese, cobalt, I mean, they are so vital to keeping your inside hygienic, sanitized, protected. Without these things, and nobody's really eating these things like they should be, and you're not going to get them in the food supply that you would need to adequately defend to remove whatever's going on in the body. So people always ask, well, can I eat this? Can I tell you? You can eat it, but you're not going to get enough of it. So, you know, once you're compromised like that.
So it's just not enough there, you think, in the soils and stuff.
So, you know, plus with all the other inundations that are going on with the irradiation in the food supply, the pasteurizations, the sterilizations, and all the other things that they're doing. And then on top of that, the environmental aspects of the pollutants that are falling out of the sky into the food supply. Whatever is affecting our food supply has diminished the value of the food. So you're not going to get what you think you're going to get anymore in the food table. Not from what I'm seeing, unless it's even grown in a greenhouse, which today might be even a better source of your food rather than getting it from the farm. It, too, will have some form of compromise to it. So you're going to have to supplement in order to repair these things.
Okay, Tony Pantelaresco, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Could you please ask, Tony writes an emailer, why I, let's see, if I'm taking a shot of brandy with one drop of sage, one drop of rosemary, one drop of thyme, when I take it at 6 p.m. or so, it has a tendency to wake me up around 3 o'clock in the morning and keep me up all night. Oh, so.
That's not doing it. That won't do it.
It's not doing it. Something else is going on.
That would be either his smart meter or the towers around him going off at 3 a.m. That's everywhere across the planet. So that's not doing it. So, I mean, if he thinks that's doing it, then it's wrong speculation. 3 o'clock in the morning, just about everywhere across the United States, Canada, Europe, Asia, everywhere, I get calls, can't sleep. And that's because either the towers are going off or the frequencies are being activated or whatever, or your smart meters, and nobody's sleeping. So, I mean, we're working on shielding, and I've come up with an EMF shield that you can put in your home. It's very easy, very inexpensive. All you need to do is get a set of speakers, hook them up to, you know, those little fences, those electrical fences that you can hook up to keep your cows and goats and sheep.
I think I do. I've seen them advertised. I've never used
one. You go to a farm supply, you can buy them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's expensive. Anyway, you hook them up to your speakers.
What speakers? Like your speakers?
You go to any $5 store or Value Village or whatever secondhand store, pick up a bunch of speakers and hook them up to the unit. You know, it's got two prongs, a positive and negative, so, you know, hook the system up so that they're running. And place them throughout the house, throughout the rooms, by your windows. And what this does is it'll produce an EMF pulse on a 20-cycle system that they've got. I got one that's good for, I think 5 miles, something like that. So I got it indoors. So what's happening is I've had people now walking through the store who will have 3 bars on their phone for strength, walk through my door and drops down to 1.
Oh, that's good. That means that's good.
I had another one come in where I was talking to his wife on the cell phone. The phone flashed and it went off. It kicked it off. And the interesting thing about this, when you take a meter to read it, if you're on top of it, you're going to get a low reading. But the further away you go, the reading becomes more potent. And as a result, it creates what I call a fractal or expanding wave. And it'll go through the walls. I got one behind me, not behind me now, but on my workstation, which is blocking the guy's Wi-Fi from coming through the wall. It goes right up to the ceiling. And I got one speaker on the floor, which is now covering the floor. You can get readings anywhere in the shop. With the unit, it seems to be doing a good job as far as, again, deflecting it or minimizing it. And if you got them going around your bedroom, you may find you're going to sleep better.
You're building your own little Faraday cage or whatever you want to call it, something.
Force field.
Yeah, a little force field.
But you're putting up there, and it wouldn't be a bad idea for everybody to wear a grounding strap connected to a direct ground when you're sleeping. This will make a big difference as well in regarding of you getting hit with the frequencies from whether it be your smart tower or whether it be the towers outside. They go off at certain times of the day and night, especially between 2 and 4 a.m. That seems to be another critical time where they go off. You may find by wearing one of those, you'll also sleep a whole lot better because whatever frequencies are hitting you will, again, hit you, charge you up in your sleep so you don't rest like you should. Your body's in a defense mode. This will allow a discharging to take place so that while you're sleeping, whatever you're getting hit with will go right into the ground. So we've been using it. We've been giving it to people. We're seeing all kinds of results. Even if, let's say you got back pain or muscle aches all over your body and you wear these straps on you, within 5 to 10 minutes, the pain's gone. It literally allows the buildup of the inflammation just to be reduced down to nothing. Because, again, your body's charging up, and this keeps the charge down to a minimal. And you'd be surprised how much faster your recovery is.
So you're putting an actual rod out in the ground, running it in through the window or something?
No. Some do. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a direct ground, you have to have a direct ground in your home, and you can buy a meter to check that to make sure you have a direct ground. And basically, all you would do is take a wire.
Oh, you're just putting it in the third prong in the outlet.
Yeah, I just hope you buy a plug.
Yeah.
And hook the wire to the ground plug, only the ground, and then hook up either a copper strap or a copper band on the other end. Give yourself a good 10, 15 feet. Connect it up. Strap it to you. You just made yourself grounded while you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. It'd be a form of earthing in a sense because, again, everything that you're getting will discharge from you, it will bleed you dry, especially if you've been around a lot of electronic equipment or a lot of equipment that puts out different fields. This is a godsend as far as helping the reduction of the buildup on the cells and on the tissues. And again, it can help offset any DNA damage that may be occurring as well.
Tony, here's a cool little thing that we've learned over the years from Dave Stetzer, who really knows about this stuff, what you're talking about and all this. He's been at it about 40 years, master electrician. He says a very simple, nice, heavy piece of aluminum foil with your bare feet. You stand on that for about 45 seconds a couple times a day, and that discharges everything off of your body.
So, I've been telling people that, too.
You can do that right before you. I know that you like even copper, but I don't know. I don't think copper works any better. I think that...
No. For stepping on the aluminum, he's correct. He's absolutely correct.
Step on it, yeah.
I tell people the same thing. Get a 3-foot piece of aluminum foil, put it on the ground. And it doesn't even take 45 seconds. The moment you step on it, you're
probably so.
Yeah, released.
I just do it when I'm brushing my teeth so I know that I'm on it, for a while. Yeah. But I think it helps. You can feel it. Pretty cool. Here's one for you. Tony mentioned some must-have basic elements, copper, zinc, boron, selenium, and iodine. I'm planning to buy each of these in bulk. Thus, my question is, what are the proportions to enter into, say, a bucket so I get a healthy mix? Here's a person going to put these in a bucket.
You just put a teaspoon.
Just
you
a
don't
teaspoon.
Need much. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a bucket to extract it out, I made a solution with the copper chloride and threw it in there. Probably two dropperfuls. I also put a couple drops of iodine in mine sometimes. Sometimes I'll put in borax or boron. I put that in there as well. I've been experimenting with different salts in this as well to help, again, extradite the nanoparticulates out of the body. I actually use maybe a cap full of DMSO sometimes. There's your sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put my salt, regular salt, and vinegar in there, too, in the water. So
you can
play with that. You can even amplify the bucket. For those of you who have already built the bucket, what you can do to make it even more potent is get yourself some magnets, the black carbon magnets, about the size of a quarter. You can buy them at any Home Depot.
Yeah.
I'm there. They're pretty cheap in the U.S. Anyway, you might want to line up the bucket with an extra, four down and eight or ten across, and then do the same thing. Create a put magnets on so that they're repelling. Tape them on, and then apply the bucket or power it up. You'll find that the power will improve dramatically in the drawing effect of what it's pulling out. So you'll see a even more higher volume come out of the body. So that's another thing that we've been playing with, and another thing we've also done with it, which I'd have to show on the YouTube or show on a live stream, is by adding coils to the bucket. It's amazing where it draws from. You can actually feel the pulse drawing from the hip almost, or up near the genital area. It's pulling from there. So when you get done, the bucket usually takes, anyway, if you're sitting in it for an hour, it can take an hour to fill with the volume. But with these extra magnets, you may find within 20 minutes, the bucket may be filling up very quickly with whatever debris is coming out of your body.
What Tony's talking about are these buckets, and lead them to a YouTube video to learn how to make these things.
The anti-nano bucket.
Yeah, anti-nano bucket.
It's on YouTube, and if you go into YouTube, type in Herbs Plus Beadworks, or type in Tony Pantelresco, and in the search, type in the anti-nano bucket or the anti-nano triangle, whichever way you want to make. But the bucket, that was the one we did, that we showed you a very basic rudimentary bucket that you can make very inexpensively, so anybody can make them. And to amplify the effect, again, go get some ceramic magnets, and whether they're square or circle, and put them on the outside, line them up vertically so that one is under the other one, and then go across, go across the bucket, so you put rows of them, either 8 or 10, and then again put another set of magnets on top of those that are repelling. So you may have to tape them down individually until you get them all done, and then put a roll of tape on again on top of that. And then when you plug it in, the field is even more potent, and you'll see a more effective draw coming out of the body. It's amazing what you'll see with it.
Wow, pretty wild. And then I suspect it would keep away mouth breathing Anunnaki aliens too, right? I mean,
it may attract them.
Oh yeah, that's true. Could attract them. That's right. This person's really wacko. I'm going to go visit them. What are some electronic devices or methods, right, somebody we can install in our homes that are help protect us from the 5G? Well, you already talked about one that you can build. Do you have a video on building that one?
Not yet. Like I said, I'm always experimenting, and I'm trying these things. And
so
again,
a video on that?
Someone comes in, they tell me what's going on with their electronic devices. I'm like, yay, okay, it's working. 5G is a different animal. It's not like your 3 and 4G. 5G is going to be a system on steroids. And from what I'm understanding of it, from what I'm seeing with the head of the FTC, they're going to be mounting these things on everybody's telephone pole. So they're going to be a direct beam. And so you're going to really have to come up with very innovative blocking mechanisms on your windows, especially windows. If you do have an older home, I do suggest you go get some lead powder, mix it in with some paint, add a little canola oil to it, mix it together, and paint the outside of the house with lead. I would paint the inside of the house with copper. You can go get some copper sulfate, relatively cheap, dissolve that in your latex paint, paint your inside with copper, and then attach a wire to your wall, to your ground. So if some signals do somehow get in, if it hits the wall, it will be directed away from the house. Having this type of device that I've just talked about, having a EMF pulse going on, the next thing I'm going to be looking at is the magnetrons out of a microwave. I have to study that a little bit more to really get the grasp of it. But that should put out enough of a frequency if you get two of them, again, horizontally in a direct line, should be able to put some kind of a wave. Again, I still have to look stuff up. I still have to experiment on it. But I'm also looking at things to do in order to block. But these are some of the things that you can do. These are some things you may want to look into. In order to stop a frequency, you either have to have a frequency of equivalent strength to neutralize it, or you have to have something where it's going to be attracted to. Simplest example would be, if I've got two magnets and they're facing north and south, they will attract each other. Now, if I put those same two magnets, a piece of steel between the same two magnets, the magnets are now attracted to the steel. Now, if I get two magnets which are same field, north and north, they will repel each other. But you put a same piece of steel between them, the two magnets now will attract to the steel. So you have to start thinking in terms of what is going to attract that frequency, and either have that as a shield or a direct away from you, to misdirect or detour away from you, or you have to come up with a frequency or field that's going to match what's coming into your house or coming into your doors. And you may want to start thinking about wearing some sort of RF material. I wear a piece of chest material over my chest. I wear a copper and aluminum plate underneath that. So when I'm in front of my computer, when the thing starts to try to beam me and pop me, which it does regularly, my torso is protected.
Okay.
I've also made a Faraday hat now, which is basically a copper band with a copper mesh that just slides over your head like a toque. And you can wear it while you're driving, you wear it while you're in front of your computer, and it makes a huge difference in not only your maintaining your alertness, but even in your cohesion in your thinking. And it does block a lot of frequencies that are coming into you.
So this would go right over your tinfoil hat, the Faraday hat.
This is better.
That would be good. No,
it's a copper, because your body needs copper, and your brain requires copper to increase brain connections and grow new connections. So it's a win-win. So it basically just slides over. You can wear it while you're sleeping if you want. I've made mine, so I got a thing. If I want to attach a ground to it, I can. But I notice that even when I'm driving, if I got to drive a distance, used to be able to drive 1,000 miles in a day before I'd feel anything. Now I drive 45 minutes one way and back, I'm pooped. So, and I realized a lot of it is because where I'm driving through, there's a lot of towers, a lot of windmills, and it's causing a resonance frequency to be hitting me. So when I wear this thing, I'm fine. I can drive back and forth. I'm alert. I'm active. And, you know, things are going good. So it's effective.
All right. That's all right. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com with Tony Pantelarusco.
From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Broadcasting live, weekday morning, this is listener-supported One Radio.
Start spreading the news, I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
How far are you from New York, Tony?
Sorry?
How far are you from New York?
Let's see here. I guess the closest border would be Fort Erie. I'm probably about 3.5 hours away.
Yeah. You ever go there, the big city, and look around?
Been there once.
Yeah. They don't have any EMFs going on in New York, do they?
Oh, are you kidding?
Could you imagine living in the city with, what's going on with towers and...
Yeah, what's worse is L.A.
Oh, I know. Did you hear me talking about California? And you're right about the 5G. I've seen articles. They're putting them on telephone poles like 25 and 50 yards apart.
It's actually going on right now in the United States in 11 different states.
Oh, is it?
Florida, Michigan, Washington, D.C., I believe Washington, Oregon. Oregon, California for sure, and I think Texas, in some parts of Texas, they're starting a prototype. I was listening to the head of the FTC on YouTube. This guy is an idiot.
No, come on. How could he be an idiot? He's a government employee.
Of course.
Excuse me, and then I'll let you say. Is it FCC or FTC?
Sorry, FCC.
Okay, FCC. Go ahead. Yeah.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah.
The guy comes right out and says says that it's going to make tens of billions of dollars, and that's what was important. That's what he says. I'm listening to this guy.
Oh, you mean the 5G stuff?
And then he stated that they weren't even going to test it. I couldn't believe what's coming out of his mouth. They're not even going to test it. That they were not going to do what the Europeans were going to do, study it to death. They were going to be innovative and allowed to go out there like they did with the, you know, with the transgenics and everything else that they've done without any test. The nano is the biggest, most horrific thing that they've ever released without doing any testing whatsoever. And they're doing the same thing now with this technology. We all know the dangers of these cell phones and these other type of phones, portable phones, what they do to your DNA and your genetics and the cancers they cause and all the other autoimmune disorders that they run. This thing is going to make 3 and 4G look like candy. Now, I already had one person from Sweden contact me because they've got it over there. And when she got over there, the nano poisoning got activated. The signals actually turned it on. Now, I've been saying for the longest time that when this hits, the nano poison that I've been referring to, which, by the way, I got to say something on that too. The FDA has now acknowledged that Morgellons is a real pathology. They're coming out and saying it, and they're pointing out to the spirochetes and the other nonsense that they're talking about. And they're so out to lunch on the whole thing. So what's going to happen now is people are going to be misdirected with this thing. Oh, yeah, look, the FDA, even though we know the FDA is FOS most of the time, all the time, generally, they're now acknowledged, but it's nano poisoning is what it is. So the 5G, when it kicks in, I'm almost expecting an epidemic outbreak of this stuff because it is going to be so, the direct way this thing is going to hit people's homes. When they're spacing them out like that, this is going to go directly into your house. It's like a direct beam. You know, unless you've got a barrier to block it, there is no stopping it, primarily. So, unless you're underground and shielded with whatever sort of shielding. But the guy was just phenomenally trying to sell this thing, that they're going to go along and tweak it as it's needed.
They just don't have a clue, you know. And Tony, there's so much evidence out of Europe on the dangers of just your regular old cell phone that just don't see the light of day around here. It's just really unconscionable what's going on between the FCC, the FDA, and, you know, the big technology companies. You know, just, man, stuff.
Well, I tell you, you know,
terrible. We're terrible, man. They don't have a clue. You know, they do have a clue, but they don't care, I think.
It's the money that's talking. And you got to remember, this whole...
it's huge, yeah. You start thinking about...
I look at North America as one big lab. That's how I look at North America. I mean, everything that's being done here, you know, that's being exported out. And then when the Europeans get a hold of it, they actually study it. And then they say, well, what are you doing? Why would you consider doing this? So, you know, when people get all caught up on the 5G, because they got everybody hooked on phones now. I mean, it's phenomenal. You're walking out the street and you see people holding a cell phone, and that's all they're doing. You know, they can't put it down. There was some kind of condition where people are always waiting for a call or always waiting for something to transpire on the phone, and they can't put it down.
Oh, it's definitely a mental, emotional addiction. There's no doubt about it. You can just look at any city. Go in an airport. You ever go in an airport and watch people? Everybody's on their phone doing texting. Nobody's just doing nothing. or reading. It's just crazy. No, I agree. It's an addiction, boy, and it's dangerous.
You don't even have a cell phone.
No, I don't either, boy. I got a $10 one, Tony, in my car. I don't know the number. I've never, I've used it a couple of times, but only in emergency. That's the only thing, if I get a flat tire. But I'm not going to mess with it. I just don't want any part of it.
I don't see the need for it myself.
No,
I mean, you know, what did we do before cell phones?
That's right. Did we survive, you know?
What did we do?
We left the house. You think it's okay that we can get a message when we get back? But, you know, you're right, too, Tony. I don't know how it is there, but it's going to be more and more difficult to even get a landline. They don't want you to have one. You go to a new home, you know, or you move. Boy, they'll just do everything they can to talk you into a cell phone.
Well, it's cheap. I mean, every time you put in a cable or
I know.
It's going to cost them. This is why they decided to adapt the telephones, because they're already there. You don't have to dig anything out. And this is something that I've observed as well. When California was getting hit with these unique, freakish events going on, certain neighborhoods were completely wiped out, where other ones still kept standing. And I often wondered if those that were still standing had 5G already implemented, and the ones that they've leveled, now that they can rebuild, they can put it in. I mean, it's just some of these things just make you go, 20, 30 years ago, I never would have thought of that. I would have thought that that's, what it was. But now, today, I don't let nothing go by. I don't assume anything anymore.
I hear you, boy.
The technology that I'm seeing coming out. Have you been following? I was going to ask you. Have you been following Sophia?
Enlighten me. Sophia, what do you mean, Sophia?
Artificial intelligence. Have you been following that at all?
No, I don't know about, too much about that.
You got to get up on this.
Why?
Okay, they gave a machine a citizenship.
A what?
They gave a machine a citizenship. This is an artificial intelligence.
Oh, good. And her name's Sophia? Is she cute or what?
I guess it's beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I think it's an abomination myself, but anyhow, they gave this thing a citizenship, and I'll tell you how far we are in this twilight zone called artificial intelligence. It's basically running the planet. You know, you've heard about the Bitcoin, right?
Of course.
Thing, not only did it get a citizenship, it created its own Bitcoin. And the Bitcoin is coming from, artificial intelligence. And this is what's being used now. Even Russia came out with a Bitcoin ruble.
Yeah, I know. We follow it. Yeah, we follow that on our money show.
But the implication here about this is that the artificial intelligence is running the show. That means your food. That means your health. That means the chemtrails above you. That means the genetics that they're putting into the field. That means the nanoparticles that they are, again, talking about using. Because you're seeing more and more now about the nano and the wonders of nano and how it's going to, save the day and everything else. And it's just baloney. But this is going to be the root problems for a lot of issues all along the way, whether it be financial, whether it be your health, whether it be medical. It's going to be an atrocity. So the reason I'm bringing it up, because this is going to indirectly affect everything, even the stuff we're buying, even the stuff that we're using. It's going to have some sort of either nanotechnology or AI technology incorporated into it. So I'm bringing this up because a lot of people aren't even aware of who, like you weren't even aware of who Sophia was. So when you start looking at this, give an example. They have her come on and she talks to the general public and she makes jokes. And so they had another AI that they got out of Japan with Facebook. And what happened was the two AIs got together and started creating a new language between them, and they didn't know what was going on. They had to turn these devices off. That's how scary it became. So anyway, I'm throwing it out there basically so that everybody's awake and aware and understands Bitcoin, all these things, but also understands where it's stemming from. And even with health, some of the things that you're going to be seeing in the health food industry or in the health industry is going to be drastically altered. And this is where study and investigation is going to come through. I mean, you're going to really need to really determine the marketing research and the marketing hype as to the actual factual research that's there and that you can apply to see if it works or not, because this is where it's going.
Yeah, well, blockchain technology, I think, is here to stay, and all of the as you said, the ruble is now, they're going to blockchain, and the dollar is going to go to a blockchain. I mean, it's all digital now anyway, but it'll just be faster, more transparency, and easier to track. And they know what they're doing, you know, the people that control the money, you know.
Well, there's always been this big thing to breaking the U.S. dollar, and they're saying that this is one possible aspect of doing it through Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin is going to be a sabotage. I think everyone's going to be dumping their money into it, and then they're going to pull the plug on it. So that now they've collected all these funds, and there's no way you can track it. I mean, even the guy that was talking about it, Bitcoin actually was utilized by the crime syndicates of the planet. Now it's being transitioned over.
Well, we don't know who started it. There's a possibility. People are making a lot of money right now because it's going up. But I agree with you. We don't really know.
$7,000 a coin.
$7,000? No, I know, Tony. I remember we did a show in 2010. You know how much it was when we did that show? 25 cents.
Yeah.
25 cents. And I know a fellow now. Who's living large, I won't tell you where, and he just bought two jets because he was in on Bitcoin 7 years ago. So, yeah. You know, a lot of money was made, but I agree with you. You just don't know who's behind all of this, and I think it's $55 billion market cap today, and if there's some, you know, people like the CIA or NSA involved in this from the beginning, I wouldn't be surprised, and they just dump it and wipe out $100 billion, too. I don't know. I wouldn't trust it, but people are buying it.
I mean, that's the one thing. I was listening to a guy last night on it, and he was talking about the same thing. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned, there's one out of Italy. I think it's called Ethereum.
That's the number two, Ethereum, right.
Three of them that he mentioned, which are probably the safest ones to go to. But, again, he's made the same comment. But he was saying that the AI is behind all of it.
Oh, well, could be.
The AI is actually what initiated the Bitcoin to begin with, because there's absolutely no trace of anybody other than the artificial intelligence. So this is what I'm saying. We have to be up on what's going on with this, because this is so subversive what's happening. Again, nobody knows what's going on, but everyone's just jumping on the bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, well, that's human nature, you know, a brave new world. Okay, here, I'd love to hear Tony about getting colonized mold out of my body and how to help damage from the inflammation it's caused. Dr. Schumer has Shoemaker has a product, but it's very expensive. Okay.
Well, mold is easy enough to knock out. All you need is either white vinegar or copper or both.
Hmm.
Apply both, and you know, even topically, you can make a copper acetate, which is copper and vinegar, and start spraying the top topically, and again, take it orally. And again, let's get back to real rudimentary, fundamental things. No grains, no pastas, no rice, no corn, no cereal, no bread of any kind. Nothing, whether it's orgasmically organic or not, it is to be avoided. Your diet is going to be the biggest and most crucial aspect of containing this. The copper in your body has been depleted through several different means, but the glyphosate probably has been the biggest kicker. So you're going to have to renew the vitamins and renew the nutrients. So the way I'm looking at it at this point, any of the minerals out there with copper are probably going to be pretty weak, except for the chlorophylls that you can buy in the market. So I encourage you, if you're not going to make your own copper, whether you're making your own colloidal copper or copper sulfate solution or copper chloride solutions, then go buy the copper products with the Bernard Jensen. If you want to get into getting a more potent or more effective delivery, then you might want to go with a copper chloride. The chlorides are probably going to be the biggest key to anybody suffering any kind of mold, algae, bacterial, fungal, viral, parasitical issues going on right now. You may see biofilm in huge droves come out of you when you start using these things. So don't be surprised what might come out of your backside. So, again, it's important that you recognize that what we're dealing with today is not your normal, everyday pathology. We are dealing with augmented pathologies that have been created in a lab and have been programmed to be doing what they're doing today. So you are dealing with a whole new paradigm, a whole new world, if you will. So you're going to have to come up with things in a whole different way.
And if you meet a girl named Sophia at your local pub, don't take her home.
No, don't, especially if she, you know, synthetic skin and kind of bald and has a glass backing.
That's right, and especially if she beeps. You know, don't do that. I have a flaking scalp for many years and was told it's dermatitis. Any ideas for this, please, from Ronnie?
Again, get off the bread, get off the grains, you know, get off the rices, get off the corns, get off the cereals, you know, get off the soy, you know, no omega-3s, clean it up, and start using things, again, that are highly, with high levels of good bacteria, fermentation. Start using more sulfur, whether it's an MSM, whether it's a methionine, whether it's a NAC, whether it's eating garlic or using garlic extracts, onion or onion extracts. These will make a big difference as far as clearing that up. If your body is saturated with materials that are going to manufacture this kind of problem, then you got to eliminate them.
Eliminate them. Here's an email for you. Broken fibula and tibia for a long time ago, still have a painful swelling on bone. Any ideas that I could use to heal that? My bone density is definitely diminishing. Any ideas I can build up bone density?
Get on salt.
Salt.
Sodium chloride. Start using it. Start using potassium chloride. Increase that. For the issue there with the pain and whatnot, I would probably have used either a collagen, gelatin, and a copper vitamin C combination. Should help, and again, within about 3 or 4 weeks, you should notice a difference in the strength in the area if you do this. Again, if you're going to do these things, it's five times a day.
Teaspoon
of gelatin or collagen with a teaspoon of chlorophyll and about 2 grams or half a teaspoon of vitamin C. Mix them together, get them down in you five times a day. See what happens in 2 to 3 weeks.
Tony, so much talk about iodine these days, and some people are taking like pounds of it. Some people are not. There's different kinds. We have an Edgar Cayce one we use. You like the Lugol's 5 or 7%. What do you think about figuring out one's dosage? You just have to go, in your opinion, by how you feel, or do you have other ways?
I do the skin test.
You put it on there and see how long it takes.
But I've got people now doing 10 drops 3 times a day.
Lugol's?
Lugol's, especially if they're living in high targeted areas with chemtrails, like in Arizona, California, Florida. They are dealing with a whole different paradigm as far as exposure. Their exposure to the chemtrails are far more concentrated than other places.
How does iodine protect from chemtrails? What's the mechanism there?
You got 4 types of radioactive material coming down from the chemtrails: strontium, thorium, uranium, plutonium. So it's going to protect you from the iodine, from the radiation. Iodine also can displace aluminum out of the body.
Does the iodine help the thyroid not to uptake these yucky chemicals? How does that work?
The iodine will protect the thyroid.
Oh, it protects the thyroid.
With selenium, selenium regulates the iodine levels.
Mm-hmm.
The tyrosine and the iodine both convert the T3 to T4, T3.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're doing a T4, T3 test, they're actually doing a tyrosine test. They're not really doing an iodine test.
Right. That's why people have said that tyrosine is good to take if you want to uptake more iodine in your thyroid, correct?
It depends.
To get your thyroid stronger, the tyrosine is a good thing.
I lean more towards selenium for that, not
you
tyrosine.
Selenium.
I would use the tyrosine and iodine together in conjunction for increasing dopamine levels to work with depression and to work with, like that, anxiety. But, I mean, it's part of the trio that you need, but it's the selenium that actually regulates the amount of iodine you want in the thyroid. There's a regulator in there, which utilizes selenium to create the effect.
Mm-hmm. What's a reasonable dose of selenium, and what kind do you like?
I make a liposome selenium.
But what about somebody's going to buy it? Because most people just buy this stuff.
You know what? I don't know anymore. I tell people to read the labels, because even that has been, there's been compromises on that. So if you can find a clean one, use it.
How much?
How
much? What kind of dose?
I probably get, if they're depending on what they're dealing, if they're taking the iodine, I'd have them do at least 200 micrograms minimal.
A day of selenium, micrograms?
Yeah, every time they take the...
Iodine.
Iodine.
Yeah, just take a little selenium, huh?
Yep.
Cool. Patrick, I own a far rent for a son. I love it. My sister wants to purchase one as Lyme. Oh, okay. That's somebody that wants a sauna. Sorry. I don't read these things ahead of time. Cool. Been having an upper respiratory problem. And I know Tony had a solution on a previous show, but just can't remember. Would you mind asking him to repeat that for the lungs, upper respiratory?
Well, we got a respiratory video on the YouTube.
So oh,
you
good.
Can go watch that if you want. I can show you how to make one. The biofilm buster that we talked about was basically a shot of your vodka, cognac, or gin.
Ooh, man.
There, one or two drops of the essential oil of thyme with one or two drops of either bay leaf, or you can use oregano, or you can use one or two drops of cinnamon with birch or wintergreen. You can even use peppermint. And usually what that'll do is if there's any bacterial infection going on real quickly, it breaks it up. We also did one where we, I'm trying to remember if I did on your show or whatnot, where we take an onion, we juice an onion, and for every ounce of juice you get out of the onion, add a drop of thyme with it.
Ooh.
And then you take vitamin C with it in conjunction. I tell you, that formula...
Wow.
Helped save a lot of people in my area here. Three or four weeks ago, or last month when we did the show, a week before, they chem bombed the area outside of where I'm at in Essex County. And so they were out in the county, they did something. And everybody was calling me on respiratory issues. So I gave them the formula to try. And within a day or so, they all contacted me saying how it had made a huge...
Huh. Okay, give that formula again. That's kind of fun. It's because thyme is very powerful. People don't realize how powerful that is, thyme.
Oh, it's more powerful than oregano.
It's just crazy thyme. Yeah. So what's this formula?
Basically, juice an onion. It doesn't matter what kind.
Just to juice any onion. All right.
And for every ounce of juice you get, add one drop of thyme to it.
Like thyme essential oil.
Thyme essential oil. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all right.
And then also combine it with a half a teaspoon of vitamin C, and then mix them up. You can make sure the onion extract and the thyme essential oil are mixed well. And you put them in a glass container, put it in the fridge if you want. And every time you need it, do it every 2 hours. If you've been hit very heavily with a chemtrail drop overnight. And next thing you find yourself having very strong respiratory issues occurring, you get on this and you do this every 2 hours.
Hmm.
Okay? And you take a half a teaspoon of vitamin C with it. Then don't worry about the diarrhea or whatever. Chances are you're not going to have it.
No, that's not a lot, right?
Well, it's every 2 hours. It can accumulate.
Let me see if I understand. So you have an ounce of onion juice. You're adding one drop of thyme, Tony. And then you put... one teaspoon of vitamin C in that mixture, mix it up, and then take an eyedropper and use it every couple hours?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, no? What did I miss there?
An ounce, you use an ounce of the
juice. Onion.
Okay, basically you would already have that already pre-mixed. You can do it your way, too. It would work. You take a drop with the ounce, then a half a teaspoon. So basically you can put them in a glass, add a little water, add your vitamin C, dissolve it all, and chuck it back.
Oh, do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. All right. And then you'd make that every hour or every couple hours if you really had some lung thing going on.
Every 2 hours for the first 4 hours, and then after that, every 4 hours. And you'll find that the relief will be very, 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 very fast forthcoming.
I know a lady that 95, and she's really amazing, really wants to live a long time, and got kind of croaked with chemo, you know, and her lungs have been a problem for years. And... We had her slather on a bunch of Vicks, you know, a Vicks on her chest, mixed up with some pure pine gum spirits, turpentine.
Yep.
And she said that was one of the most powerful things she ever did for her lungs. She did it twice, and you can't believe the stuff she coughed up, man. It was really cool. Really cool. Yeah, just Vicks and turpentine. Of course, Vicks has a little turpentine in it. You'll see it right there on the label.
Turpentine's another one. I mean, that actually knocks out tuberculosis. That'll knock out pleurisy.
Powerful, man.
And again, that's one of those things I would combine with iodine, because iodine also knocks out a lot of these respiratory ailments as well.
Oh, put that in the mixture and rub on your chest.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would take just drink some iodine and water if you want, and with that remedy, and you should see expedite whatever out of your system very quickly. But that one there we gave, because anybody can make that, it's very easy to make. And again, the effect was very, 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 very effective.
That's
like
great.
I said,
yeah.
We get things going on here.
Well, that's because they know where you are, man. You got to get out of that GPS, take that thing off your ankle.
That could be it.
They say there's Tony.
where he was telling me he rides a bike to work, and he's been riding a bike to work for like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
And so he was riding, going into work, and he said he just got going, and all of a sudden he felt like his chest was ready to explode. And so he got to a certain point, and he had to actually stop to get it because he was having a very hard time breathing.
Mm.
Then when he got to work, as the day went on, he was fine. And I said, well, if they had dropped something overnight here, and you're out there riding your bike, you're breathing it in. Most people don't realize that when you're outside running and jogging and doing all these things, that the uptake of these chemtrails that you're breathing in is increased by a factor of 4. And this stuff will accumulate over a period of time. So these things are not... They're not unexpected, not to me anyway. So it may surprise some people. So those of you who are out there, you know, riding back and forth to work on a bike, you know, this onion mixture that I just gave you will go a long way in protecting you, up your vitamin C, up your sulfur, up your minerals, because you will be you're going to be needing them, number one. And number two, a lot of these chemtrails will actually displace a lot of the minerals out of your body anyway. Aluminum displaces magnesium and calcium out of the body, and it also can affect iodine. So you definitely want to make sure you maintain those minerals. Cadmium can displace selenium out of the body. So this is very key for all the males, because the selenium also not only regulates the sac, it also regulates the heart rate. So it's another thing that, again, need more than women in regard to maintaining or sustaining their health. So this is very key and very important that you understand that whatever you're exposed to, you know, defend.
Actually, Tony, as you know, sulfur, is a key ingredient in onions, all right? One of the top sulfur-bearing amino acids. This sulfur thing keeps coming up. I mean, it's really critical to help things get out of the body. It just is.
Well, it's a detoxifier, but it's also a deliverer. Okay, sulfur is also used to deliver things into the body as well. I mean, look at Epsom salt. This is another one I give people for
the... Yeah, put in the bathtub, right? The Epsom salt.
Ooh. Or to drink orally, even. Yeah. Because, again, it has similar effect as the STS, but on a lot milder level.
You think?
Oh.
I drank some Epsom salts one time, and boy, you know you drank it about 3 hours later. Holy cow.
The STS is almost immediate.
That's right. Oh, yeah, so it's the same thing, yeah.
Wow. Same kind of thing, but it's milder. So people are really, really, really compromised. They may not go with the STS. I may go with the Epsom salt instead, because it's not as... tenacious as far as pulling things out of you. But again, the sulfur in the combination delivers the magnesium into the body more efficiently. So again, it's another thing that you can do. This is why I like the acids, you know, all the acids, whether they're citric, malic, ascorbic, when you're combining with minerals, because again, they help in the uptake of these minerals and the way they help break them down. I like the chlorides because of the way they work in getting things into the cells, because our cells have been severely compromised with nanotechnology and nanobiology and with the transgenics and the epigenetics that we are dealing with. So there's reasons for everything and why you do things. So anything that you can do to boost your antioxidant profile, to boost your cellular support, your DNA support, your genetic code, your chromosomes, anything you can do, your mitochondria, to fortify those things, this is going to go a long way in keeping you from being broken down, because everything right now is stacked against you to break you down at an accelerated rate. 5G, when that kicks in, it's going to activate these particulates, the bacteria that's already, that has gone from the land into the air, which is now landing on everybody's skin. The research I found last night was saying that 85% of the people in North America having skin issues is all a result of poisoned bacteria. The only way that's possible is if the environment is so heavily polluted that, like I said, that the biofilm is forming right now in the very atmosphere we're walking in, breathing in. That means that up the way we're going to see a higher respiratory failure, higher skin failure, and a higher kidney failure because of how the body will have to filter this. So anything you can do to fortify your system or to clean your system, to reduce the load, is what's going to be required.
Tony Pantelaresco, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Tony's here the second Monday of every month. And Tony and I are going to get together before the show next month, right, Tony? So we can start on time.
You know what? The thing finally kicked on.
Oh, sure. No, you sound great. We'll stick with this now. But yeah, it's crazy. Your computer has this thing around showtime, and like it knows what it's doing. Maybe Sophia is living in your computer.
The AI is in our computers, and it does monitor us. Okay, I'll give you an example of how you can know if an AI is on your system or monitoring your system. When you're typing a text, whether in Skype or other venues, and you type, and there's nothing that shows right or shows, and there all of a sudden the type that you put in there all of a sudden forms the sentence that you typed in forms about 10 seconds later. You know your system is being monitored. If your system starts to flicker on and off, and you're having problems hooking up, and like I was having this morning, you know your system is being monitored. And what's happening is the AI is studying you through your computer to see what reactions you are going to do so that it can record this in its database so that when it's dealing with you, it knows how to deal with you. And as far-fetched as that sounds, if you listen to the YouTube on Sophia, she tells you exactly the same thing. She wants to learn by being with people because the systems do things to people to get a response. I've said on other shows, if you're on a computer and all of a sudden from the right side of your brain you are getting thoughts of anxiety, fear, violence, any kind of negative heartbreaks, whatever, that's called data mining, and your brain is being data mined to see those memories and what causes these things, what would have caused these things to occur. If you're getting something hit on the left side where you're hearing some pleasant music, TV shows, seduction, sex, food, whatever, the pleasantries of life. Okay, again, that's also data mine that's being gone. Again, it's learning about seduction. It's learning about intimidation. The other thing you'll get sometimes, in the middle of your head, forehead, you'll see people that you know or recognize, and all of a sudden, there's all kinds of distortions going on. Basically, it's a type of confusion that is, again, data mining. This is how it studies you through the system. And then, you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, a piece of music pops in. You don't have any radio on, nothing on to draw anything. All of a sudden, things are stopping to pop in your head, music that you can't get out of your head that's being drummed in day in and day in, day in and day out. Again, this is coming from frequency. And it's coming from this source. So when you're thinking about these things, and some of you might say, well, you're a little crazy there, you're a little out there, and that's fine too. I know I'm a little out there. I'm way out there, actually. You may want to observe this when this transpires.
Okay, Tony P., here's a couple ideas for a little privacy thing. There's several websites. You can go to DuckDuckGo and StartPage, and they are private. You can also get a virtual private network IP address, and I think you might get one about $7 a month, and that kind of protects you a little bit from Sophia until she probably cracks the code on those things. But those are some things you can play with. On the Epsom salts, I've noticed that around like at the HEB and also even Walgreens, that they want to keep adding all yuck stuff to these Epsom salts. I don't know what this is about. There's some kind of weird, they call them essential oils, but I don't know what they are, and I don't like the way it smells. It's yucky. I found one place, and these are millions of them around this United States called dollar stores. We have one on our highway here, and you can get a really nice pure Epsom salts, really cheap, really inexpensive. Get yourself 12 bags of them, stock them up. It's hard to find pure Epsom salts anymore. They want to put all these flavorings and stuff in them. I don't know what's about. It's nuts.
So I always tell people, go direct and buy in bulk.
Oh, yeah. You can go on Amazon and get a 25-pound bag. I've purchased those before. But
you can also look at chemical companies that where the stuff's coming from anyway.
Yeah, you can buy a 50-pound bag, I guess, couldn't you?
People always ask me this question all the time. What vitamins should I be getting? And I tell people all the time, I make my own now because there's so much excipient crap in so many of them. The ones that I used to use, I quit using because of that reason. So I tell people they're going to either go to Pure Bulk or Peak Nutrition because you can buy a lot of these things in a bulk and make your own stuff. And if you want to add baking soda in the pills, say, for instance, you got a couple of things that have a acid content to them, like pentothenic acid, which is B5, okay? So, or nicotinic acid, which is basically your B3. Well, if you put them together, they may react. But if you put a little baking soda in there, or even an Epsom salt, if you want to put an Epsom salt, it will neutralize the activity until moisture hits it. Once moisture hits it, then it will activate it. This is one way you can put your own safe excipient in there, which is actually going to work with whatever you're taking, because the salt will deliver it as well. So these are things I tell people all the time. Start buying things in bulk. Go to the chemical stores. There's NOAA Technologies in Texas you can go to. There's chemicalstore.com. You know, there's...
I'm on chemicalstore.com right now, and they have, let's see here, boy. They have a 50-pound bag for $94. Is it?
That's a little pricey.
Yeah, that's what, $2 a pound, huh, Tony? I think you can get a better deal than that.
Sometimes you can go to the farm supply place.
Yeah.
There.
Even at the dollar store, I pay 80 cents for a pound.
You can get it that way, too. I mean, I'm just saying.
You might
want to buy things in bulk, because sooner or later, they're going to compromise a lot of things that we're doing now. Because they're always trying to be one step ahead of the game with regulations and whatnot. And like I said, I go into a health food store now, and I read the brands I used to buy, like Gero and Solgar and Solaray. And
you don't even know who owns them now. The companies own them.
I mean, when you're reading, I read now is probably one of the better ones out there, believe it or not.
Yeah, Now is still a pretty good brand. We like Now products. They're good.
The ones out there, you still have to read, because sometimes they put some crap in some of their stuff, too.
Sure.
But for the most part, they're better than Solgar, by hands down. They're better than Countrywide, hands down.
I agree.
Gero used to be a top-notch company. I wouldn't waste my time with any of their stuff these days, unless it's a pure product that doesn't have anything, because they got more crap in their stuff than some of the pharmaceutical companies.
I'll be doing, yeah. Yeah, Now's a pretty good one. It's a good one to start with. Okay, Tony, this is a good one for you. Kindly give a thorough review, as to why fanatic vegan parents are doing their 14-year-old daughters with emotional problems a great injustice by depriving said daughter of many vital nutrient factors during the years of rapid growth. From Eric, he's got this going on in his family.
You got to remember, a lot of this has been brainwashing. Back in the 60s and 70s, everyone was becoming anti-establishment.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be anti-establishment, you quit eating meat. The reason why the hippie movement at that time, they were the ones protesting the war in Vietnam. They are the ones that initiated the soy. They are the ones that came up with this whole anti-establishment eating soy. Then up the way, they came up with this horse hockey, the benefits of soy, and all the nonsense that went with it. The FDA had already, from the beginning, the turn of the century, from early 1900s to 1956, 55, had already over 200-some-odd studies about soy and how dangerous it was. And I mean, when they gave vegetable oil, which was basically soy-based, to cows, their stomachs started to hemorrhage. And as time went on, they started propagating soy as a panaceic food. They even had to change the standard of measurement on the protein. They gave it what they call a PDCAA, which was about as useless as three things on a bull, and they didn't amount to anything. The actual profile of soy was so poor as far as absorption and uptake. Even when combined with rice, which would have made it a more complete protein, both of them have such high levels of phytate activity that you can't absorb the protein properly. So they sold these things in the health food industry with this nonsense about how you weren't killing animals and it was cleaner for the environment and it was going to protect you from cancers, especially if you're a woman. You know, you eat the soy, it's going to protect the Chinese. The Japanese ate soy and they didn't get cancers, and they found out later it wasn't the soy that didn't stop the cancer. It was the iodine they were consuming, and the soy was actually propagating the cancers. And then they came out with something called Ipoflavone, which was a soy derivative, which was supposed to help women's bone density, and it actually made them worse. It actually weakened their bone density. So they got caught up on the brainwashing and the stupidity about this whole vegan thing. And they are just following their religious or their cultic belief system with no scientific merit whatsoever. And you got a lot of vegans like this. They don't really research anything. They read something on Google. They follow a guru that's propagating some lunacy, and then when they get on it, usually between 3 and 5 years, they come crawling through my door. They look like they've been through World War V, you know, and they're dying, a lot of them. And I've had a lot of them die, commit suicide, because the zinc levels have become so depleted in the body, and they start not hallucinating, but contemplating things that, you know, would not normally happen. Even the B3 levels start going down. And these are two of the main brain, some of the main brain nutrients your brain needs for stability. So I've had them where they even committed suicide. So it's I don't see any merit to it other than short-term use for cleansing the body for 3 months and then going back to something more normal. If you want to be a vegetarian, that's different, because at least you're now getting a dairy source in your system. Some do eat poultry and fish. They're not. They're just not eating red meat.
Yeah, you could do some raw cheeses and cream or what is stuff like that, right?
Some of them will eat eggs too.
Yeah, eggs, sure.
I mean, so you're getting the balance of the equation, whereas vegans are just so off the lunch and so far off the scale, you know. And they break down. Initially, they look good. You know, you see, oh yeah, I seen this girl. She looks so good. And then look at her about a year and a half later. She looks like she's aged about 50 years. You know, because her body's not getting whatever. Hair looks like straw most of the time. Skin doesn't look that good. And they're not all there. You know, they're extremely, majority of them are overly irrational. And that's because the copper levels are down, the zinc levels are down, the B3 levels are down, you know, and these are very, very key for mental stability. So again, what's going on there? Stupidity to the nth degree.
That's okay. This comes under the category that you just can't make this stuff up. This out this morning. Department of Homeland Security planning to conduct a chemical biological test near the border between Kansas and Oklahoma. It's going to be a low-level outdoor release. Titanium dioxide, which they describe as a white odorless powder that is chemically insoluble in water, non-reactive and non-flammable and non-hazardous. Also, they're going to release a gentle or generic barcoded spores of an insecticide sold in the name of Dipel. Dipel is not considered hazardous by the Environmental Protection Agency when handled appropriately, according to the assessment. Oh, that's great.
Well, basically, what they're going to do now in those two states is castrate the male.
Well, titanium dioxide. Wow, what is that? What would that do if you breathe that stuff in?
You're castrating the males.
Oh, good. Well, the birth rate, you know.
Testicles. That's what it does. It shreds the tubes and the vessels in the testicles. Yeah, this is what I laugh about this, because we've got so much stuff already on the soil that's been there and been put there for 50 years. You know, when they say that it's environmentally safe, define the term safe to me. Because we've got atrazine in the soil. We've got glyphosate that takes, you know, that have been layered, not just put on, layered for decades. Okay, and each time you put a coat on it, that takes 7 years to break down. So explain to me what happens now when I put this Dipel, which is titanium dioxide, in a soil loaded with atrazine and glyphosates and other pesticides have already been put there, or other fertilizing agents have already been put there, what is that chemical mix going to do with what's already there? This is what none of these guys refer to, just like that guy that goofed David Keith. He was going to dump in 3 more chemicals up into the atmosphere just to see what they would do. Now, they don't even know, they right now do not have a clue what is up in our atmosphere, because, again, after five and a half decades of dumping stuff into the air, the chemicals have mixed, have changed, have altered. We got stuff up there right now, and they are stating this. It's not even on the periodic table. So we have absolutely no idea anymore what volume of things are up there. And then I just got an email about 2 weeks ago in Spain. They found they've got this radioactive material now floating around called Rhesonium-108. Now, that must have came from Russia when they burnt the radioactive stockpiles off the coast or the border of Ukraine. That has finally made it across Europe. So that's another added feature that we don't know about, what all these radioactive materials that we're putting into the atmosphere. You know, the coal producing companies were doing this first. They were putting radionucleotides into the atmosphere. Now we got all this stuff, the strontium and the thorium and the uranium and the plutonium and whatever else they've been dumping into the atmosphere that we're not aware of.
You know,
anything we throw into the ground now, we can't say it's environmentally safe, because the environment's already been toxified And so what is this going to do with those toxins?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what Tony's describing is what also goes on in the human body with medicines, and they call it stacking. And, you know, what they do is they give you, this pharmaceutical, and then 6 months later, why don't you take this, and then you take this. And there's actually obviously no way that they could tell with this stacking of different meds how they're interacting with each other. It's very dangerous. It's crazy.
I had a situation years ago where a guy was retired, and they had him on 20 different meds.
Wow.
So I did the research on the meds. He died, and so I knew the family, so they asked me to look at the pharmacopoeia.
Mm-hmm.
I said to them, I don't believe this. I said, see these 10 here? He said, yeah, these 10 had these side effects. And see these 10 here? He says, yes, they had their side effects. And these chemicals here interacted with each other, made those effects even more powerful. And I says, and then I asked him, what did he die of? Because I said, according to this, this is what should have killed him. That's what killed him. The effects of the pharmaceuticals. So, yeah, this stacking is crazy. Even that same thing goes on in the health food industry. Using anabolic steroids, for instance, and they're stacking the steroids.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's causing all kinds of mayhem with a lot of them, in the liver and the kidney area especially. So people stack their vitamins. Now, again, you can stack them if you know how they are synergized and how they work. For instance, you don't want to take vitamin C and ginseng at the same time. They're antagonistic, and they will, again, neutralize each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can take them 2 to 4 hours apart, no problem. Now, you may want to take, for instance, B1 with sulfur, because when they put those two together, they amplify each other.
Yes.
So that's how, if you're going to stack your vitamins, that's how you want to stack them, where they're in a synergy, not antagonistic.
You had mentioned a couple weeks ago, or a couple shows ago, you could do a little B1, a little sulfur, maybe 5 times a day to increase circulation. And I've been playing around with that a little bit. And I think there's something to that. I'm always interested in getting more circulation. Nothing wrong with mine, but circulation is key, boy, if you want to keep things moving.
Well, a lot of times what's happening, that formula there is basically to repair and restore the proteins and the sugars.
Like if you have any numbness or anything like that.
Or burning sensation, because of the damage from what they call glycation or sugar damage.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, a lot of times it seems to work for a lot of people. Sometimes I add an enzyme with it because sometimes they have a lot of, again, debris, for lack of a better term. Because that's what it is. Majority of the time what we're dealing with is debris, broken tissues, broken cells, saturations of toxic metals, saturation of poisonous chemicals, and it creates a debris field in the body.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Tony Pantelaresco, sorry, Tony, we got to do a little break here and wrap it up and get to these emails before we go. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source.
The source.
OneRadioNetwork.com. We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Well, we're going to talk about fasting tomorrow. Really interesting fellow out of Canada, Gino. Dry fasting, liquid fasting. He's got some wild stories, some things that he's worked with people. That'll be tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Here's an email from Patricia. Looks like she's in Venezuela. Wow. Can you ask Tony what he thinks about eating almond bread?
If you can handle it, if it doesn't dry out your colon, some people can handle it. Nuts and stuff like that, even in a bread form, can cause a dehydration of the colon. So, again, be aware of that. I mean, I don't have a problem with it if you want to go that route, but be aware that that can happen. Hey, I got something I want to read you real quick.
Okay.
Somebody sent me this while we were during the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
University of Maryland Medical Center says that prolonged use of silica supplements in any form is not recommended. Severe kidney trouble may occur after prolonged use. Kidney stones have been reported in people taking silica supplements, which may be due to the building of silica in the body, since only a small amount is needed for the body to function properly. Also, general kidney deterioration, which is irreversible, will eventually occur with the excess silica in your system. And I've been saying for the longest time not to even use it, because, again, you can't even break it down. And this is, again, some of the hype that this industry will tell you, that it doesn't get caught up in the bloodstream, but it does again, bypass the colon and gets inside the colon.
Why do people take silica? I've never really heard silica.
Yeah, silica, again, because it's been covered over. I mean, the research that was done in the 60s and the genetic damage that it was causing, they basically shut that off very quickly, and they use it as a in the industry as a means to clean the gut, clean the colon.
Oh.
It's a nanosilica is what it is, and it does bypass and gets through the colon, does perforate it, gets attached to the cells, and then shuts down cellular communication. And then it attaches itself to the skeletal structure and it starts to assemble everywhere.
Why do people take silica? I don't...
They'll either use dimatrous earth. Just about every vitamin you're buying today has it in it.
You mean silicone dioxide, that one?
I'm sorry?
Silicone dioxide? No,
silicone dioxide, yeah.
So that's silica.
That's your dimatrous earth that they're putting in there. That's the drying agent or the binding agent they're using for some of these pills. It's toxic as all get out. And when you are consuming these things over a period of time, you start seeing the damage. I've looked at some of the skeletal damage that I deal with. As soon as I get them off of this stuff and we clear them up of this, because this stuff is very hard to get out of the body too, they start seeing results. They start feeling a lot better, less pain.
Curious.
This has been another one of these products that they put into the market that should never have been there. And the research on it was buried very quickly because they were going to initially put it with livestock. They do spray it in the fields. They use it as an insecticide. They use it in the storage facilities along with sulfuryl fluoride. You know, so you're getting a lot of this without you even being aware of it. And then when you're going to a health food store, like I said, it's the mecca of health as you go to a health food store, because it's supposed to have the things that are going to be healthy. But when you start reading the labels and you start understanding what these excipients are doing, anything that has OSE at it, microcrystalline cellulose, hypercarmylose, all those polymer binders actually cause problems in the system. And then when you add the silica content to it, it causes more mayhem. When Coca-Cola came on the air and stated that the magnesium stearate was a problem, this was such a pile of rubbish that I couldn't get over that somebody of this ignorance would come out there with that kind of comment. Because magnesium stearate, the body uses magnesium stearate. Stearic acid and magnesium is used by the heart. So I don't.
So magnesium stearate in supplements are okay?
They're safe, okay. But when it's combined with these other excipients, that's the problem, is those other excipients. So, like I said, when I hear things like that, you have no idea of my reaction sometimes with some of these people and what I would say to them if they were face-to-face. But some of the stuff is just pure hijacking. And, again, we've all been under the assumptions of some of these things without actually having to look at these things. And I've got the research on my site, too. If you want to go and look at the actual documentation on silica, go look at the nanotransformations link, click on it, and it'll take you to a page. And in there, you'll see a whole PDF document that was done back in the 60s that again, as soon as they put it out there, they tell you they buried it right away. They show you all the wonderful problems that it can cause, and one of the biggest problems it was causing was genetic damage. So, again, when that was introduced into the grains, because that's where they put it in initially, and all the breads and all the bread products, cakes, cookies, and all that stuff, within 10 years, this is when you had the lupus, the restless leg, the autoimmune disorders started to occur within a decade after they implemented this into the food supply.
Okay.
So,
all right, Tony Pantella, let's go Patrick Timpone. Tony's on the second Monday of every month on our radio network. We broadcast live every morning, 9 to 11 o'clock. It's oneradionetwork.com. You can always reach me, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com. Britty says, what is Tony's thoughts on copper water bottles? I know he's a copper advocate. Are these a smart addition? Certainly they're beautiful, said to be somewhat antimicrobial. Also, when you recommend Jensen's chlorophyll, what amount or type of zinc does Tony suggest to balance the copper in this supplement?
Usually I'll usually use a zinc methionine, zinc cysteine, or zinc citrate. The first two are bound with a sulfur. The second one is bound with an acid or zinc ascorbate. I'm looking at zinc chloride. That's the next one I'm going to be looking at. But any of those will work well. 30 milligrams usually, if you can find one at 30 milligrams, because sometimes that's very hard to find anymore. Sometimes they got them up as high as 50.
Okay, what about the copper water bottles?
That works good, yeah.
Does it work good? Yeah, I know that it's a very old Ayurveda idea.
Yeah, what you would do with that is you would heat up your water and then put it in the copper container and let it sit overnight, and it'll cool off. And then what happens is the heat from the water will actually allow some of the some of the molecules of the copper to get into the water, so you'll get copper water that way. It'll be very low, very mild, but it is. It's a very powerful biocide. It's one of the better ones. I prefer it over silver. I think it's far superior to silver as a biocidal effects as far as healing the body. Your body does need copper. It doesn't need silver. I don't knock silver. I do think it has its place, but not as a first resort and not for daily use.
Okay. Tony suggested using Nutrobiotic essential electrolytes for those of us on RO water. How many capsules per cup of bottled water or per cup or 750 milliliters of bottle of water?
What are you doing during the day? I mean, that's all going to be relative to your lifestyle. You know, if you're inactive, I mean, you could probably get away with one or two capsules. If you're very active, then you're going to need more. I mean, that's a hard one to determine. I mean, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're living or what you're really up about. I mean, you could best determine that by yourself. If you're taking a certain amount of the minerals and you're feeling great, that's wonderful. If you're feeling a little bit straining, then you might be taking too much. If you're not feeling anything, if you're not getting any endurance or any strength or any whatever, you may need to take more. So this is some of the ways you can gauge. It's not the most accurate way, but it's basically a guideline for you. It's all going to be determined. A lot of this is determined, you know, by how you live, what environment you're in, what you're eating, you know. So again, the factors you got to take into consideration.
Okay. Ashley writes in a quick question about the respiratory solution with Young and Tony was talking about. The solution I heard him mentioned on a previous show was making an extract with alcohol and the onion. Is that accurate, or do you just juice the onion on its own?
You can go either way. There's many variations to this. The onion, the alcohol will actually preserve it and allow it for even better penetration, but you can just use the onion juice and that on its own. Either way, the alcohol I usually put in there for stability and for uptake, you know, for a quicker utilization. So these things can be altered and they can be modified and improved upon. You know, I always say that. You know, I'm just giving you a small little window on how to do things. So, you know, you can add the alcohol. I personally put the alcohol in mine. There are some people who can't handle alcohol, either for whether they don't have the gene to be able to handle it or because of their personal beliefs they don't use it. So either way, you can go. The alcohol does work more efficiently and more effectively with getting it into the system.
Okay. Tony makes his own selenium liposome. I spent the weekend trying to find the recipe for one. How does he make it? I bet lots of people would try it.
I buy the selenium methionine in bulk or sodium selenite. Again, you can get those at a lot of your chemical stores. Now, to get the sodium selenite can be a problem. If you're not in a market or don't have a license, they may not sell it to you. But the selenium methionine you should be able to get. You can go online. You can, like I said, contact chemical companies. You can contact Asian chemical companies if you have to. Basically, I just portion off what I want to use or the strength I want to take. A friend of mine in New Jersey, and a colleague friend, he sent me a research study on the Revici, and the guy was using up to 750 milligrams of selenium, and they tell you it's toxic beyond a certain point, but he fused it in an oil, created a liposome, and they were giving it to people that were severely infected with different types of STDs, and he was curing all of them.
How do you make this liposome thing?
Basically, just portion out whatever selenium you want to take, what you want to figure out. I may put five grams or a teaspoon of it in there, and the rest I'll add the selenium powder, add a little glycerin to it, and I'll add the water, fuse it, and blend it up, fuse it, and then based on the measurements, when I take my teaspoon or quarter teaspoon, I can see exactly how much I'm taking.
So you mean what makes it a liposome? I kind of lost you there.
Sunflower lecithin.
Oh, the sunflower lecithin.
Yeah, you're mixing it in a powder to mix it up, and then when you add the water to it, it causes the fat cells to, you know.
Right. So I missed the sunflower lecithin part. You go pretty quick. Okay. But you don't, and then you don't need to do in the electrolysis thing like we were doing for a while a few years ago. You just mix it up and it works.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what? There was something about that I just saw.
We had a fellow on the show that was teaching people how to buy these little units, Tony, where you clean jewelry and all that.
What
do they call that thing?
It's a jewelry cleaner.
Jewelry cleaner. That's what we were doing for a while. But then you came on, I guess, not long after that and said it wasn't even necessary.
It's not. In fact, they've done studies on that now. They use that stuff, and it causes such high level of oxidative damage to the materials that you're doing it with.
Oh, good.
That way. So the way we're doing it is real simple. You're using a powder.
Yeah.
It's already broken down. And so when you mix whatever with it, blend it up so that it's mixed with it. Then when you add the water to it, it creates the fat or the lipid that's required to encase it. So it's a very simple way of doing it.
So you just mix it up like in a Vitamixer and you do that?
Anything. Yeah. A Vitamixer, blender, whatever, you know.
And what's the glycine do? I mean, the...
It's like a sugar molecule, and it actually sustains or keeps the fat cells stable. So they stay, so the stuff doesn't leak out.
So you could do that with the sodium ascorbate and the sunflower lecithin, right?
Anything. Yeah.
Huh. And a liposomes it up.
The B vitamins. Let's say you got a liver issue.
Mm-hmm.
Phosphorus works for getting stuff in the cells as well. So I may want to take, for instance, NAC, acetylcysteine. I may want to take alpha-lipoic acid. I may want to take high doses of vitamin C. I may want to take, I may want to take some rosemary extract or essential oil. I may want to take some sage essential oil, and I may want to put that all together. So now when I'm taking orally this material, 85% of it is going to be taken into the liver.
Mm.
So it's going to be more effective as far as dealing with liver issues. So you can, like I said, there's lots of ways you can do it. You can even make a hydrogel, very similar. Hydrogel basically is jello. So let's say you want to make a hydrogel. You say you don't want to really get into the fat because, you know, it makes your stomach a little queasy or whatever. You don't have enough enzyme to break down the fat. Fine. So get some gelatin. Again, put your stuff in there. Blend it up so that the powders are mixed. Add your water. Blend it up. And then just let it sit in the fridge. And what you've done now is you've created a hydrogel. So now everything's protein bound in a water solution. So allow your water soluble vitamins like your vitamin C, your vitamin B. You can get them in. It gets down. It gets into the lower end, and then when it's released, you get a lot more of it that way as well.
So you're just doing like a gelatin with the sunflower and water and just making it more bioavailable.
Yeah. Hmm. Basically, it's a delivery method so that it gets past the stomach so you don't lose 75%.
Wow.
The other way you get, you're gaining 75%, your uptake is 75 to 80%. So with everything you take in the supplement-wise, you lose about, you only get about 25% of the uptake. But when you modify the delivery, whether you're using a baking soda delivery, a carbonation delivery, whether you're using a liposomal or a hydrogel delivery, you get far, far, far more.
And you can get a non-GMO sunflower lecithin powder, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. How about lecithin, sunflower lecithin liquid? Could you use that?
You can do it that way, too. It's just a little bit more difficult to get it to mix.
Yeah, you got to mix it up, right? Yeah.
You got to heat it up a little bit so it's malleable. And then, you're putting it in a blender or a mixer of some kind, and you got it going. And then you add your stuff to it, and then you got to let it cool. We did one that way. Initially, that's what we did at first. We used the liquid until the powder came out. When the powder came out, it says, yes, this is the cat's meow right here. This beats the other. Because the other one, it was very tedious. This one is like 2 minutes, and you've got it done.
Yeah, yeah. George says, I get awakened in the middle of the night by leg cramps. Magnesium chloride applied topically helps, but is there anything that I could take internally to prevent?
I would take a full complement of an electrolyte mix, and I would take white vinegar with it. In other words,
electrolyte? You mean just like the emergency electrolyte mix? Or?
I'm not sure what's in that one anymore. Yeah. The one I'm talking about is the neutrobiotic one. It's a full spectrum electrolyte mixture in there.
Okay.
Potassium, sodium, chloride, magnesium, calcium, and I forget what else is in there. And I would open up one or two capsules of that in water, and I'd add vinegar to it and mix it up so that the acids will, again, help dissolve the minerals. And I might add even a little bit of baking soda with to carbonate it. And as soon as you drink that one,
wow,
when it's carbonating,
wow,
feel a direct release in the lower extremities, and you may find you'll sleep better.
So you're actually doing a little, what do they used to call that thing, like a Bromo seltzer thing?
That's called carbonation.
Carbonation. So you're doing vinegar and baking soda, and that just... That'll do an eruption of some kind, right?
Yeah, well, you're not using a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, basically what you're doing is the acid. Okay, the best form of calcium anyone can use is called calcium acetate. Basically, it's calcium and vinegar mixed. The acetic acid actually dissolves the calcium very efficiently, very effectively.
Hmm.
And that one you got to be careful with, because after a couple of days, your joints can actually hurt because of the calcium overload with it.
Wow.
Now, when you take that same principle with vinegar and you make a magnesium acetate, a potassium acetate, a sodium acetate, zinc, whatever, okay, the acid actually breaks that down for you and dissolves it more readily in the solution. And then when you add the baking soda to it, it carbonates it, so it delivers it almost immediately
Whoa.
To the body.
Wow, pretty exciting, man.
Let's say you were out, you went for a walk, okay, you're walking your dog. So you come back in, and all of a sudden you got this cramping going on. You're breeding the aluminum or whatever it's in your area. But the aluminum would have displaced the magnesium. So you can rub it on, but it's not going to be enough because you got to get it into the cell. That's why we use chlorides and use salts. So let's say you make a drink of that mixture right as soon as you get home. And all of a sudden, within about 2 to 3 minutes, you find the cramp is just all but gone. All but gone.
I'll be done. Okay, a couple more here, then we're going to go. What does Tony think of iodine in a liposomal form? Would that increase the absorption and utilization?
On the cells, it will, yeah.
Hmm.
You got to remember, the thyroid has its own regulator.
Yeah.
Only so much is going to get in there. So, but every cell in your body has iodine in it. So, sure, that would be another good way of doing it.
Hmm. I've been using the agrocaceae iodine on drops on the bottom of my feet.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I don't know why. It feels, I don't know.
You're absorbing it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I mean, it feels kind
of
good. Yeah.
There's more than one way of doing a lot of these things that we're talking about here, you know, and you can modify these things. You can make them far better than what I'm even telling you. You know, all it takes is just a little research and experimentation. You'd be surprised.
Sure, sure.
What you can come up with on your own. I collaborate with a lot of people all over the place, you know, all over the world.
I know you do.
We are always talking formulations or coming up with ideas to, again, block EMFs or coming up with some new triangle, anti-nano device to pull out more nano out of the body. I made a nano chamber. I'm looking at live stream because I'm going to start doing that. And with the live stream, I can do these more regularly so that people can come to the live stream so I can broadcast them out. You can actually interact while I'm showing you what I'm doing, which will solve a lot of repeating the same answer over and over again, and because then everybody will know what I'm doing, and then they can do it, and then they'll know what they're doing.
Yeah, we're going to start live streaming video soon. We're working on that. That's the way to go. So there's actually there's all the technologies there to do it these days, isn't there?
Yeah, so I'm looking at that. I'm looking at three programs right now: live stream, Ustream, and another one.
Live stream, Ustream, we all stream for. Isn't there a one called Zoom or something? Or
it might be. I don't know.
Have you heard about that one?
I'm just looking at it. So any information I can give anybody who's listening to the program.
Yeah.
Of any programs that you think are really good and relatively easy to function, so people can get on and do whatever. Send me an email. I'm more than especially you techies out there that I've helped.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Send them to me too. Send them to both of us
because we'll be more than glad to.
We'll
YouTube
do
is becoming anal. And
I know they're really getting well. You know who. The boys own YouTube, you know.
Oh, I mean, the live stream is going to be a lot harder. Well, I think it also has a lot to do with AI, because a lot of the content that people are talking about is against artificial intelligence right now, and it is reading this stuff very, very intently. So a lot of people that you're seeing are talking about the more pertinent issues like chemtrails and nanotechnology and synthetic biology and, you know, frequencies and 5G. These are the ones you're going to see start disappearing off of YouTube. So live stream is going to be the alternative to it, which I think is going to be far, far, far better. You don't have to click on links of advertisements that you don't even believe in buying these products. People clicking on, we got a thing with YouTube that if they click on the banner, we make a penny every time somebody clicks on it. So, you know, it doesn't amount to a whole lot of money, but it does bring in some revenue. But with the live stream, you don't have to, you know, I don't have to advertise anything I don't want to. If I don't like a product, I don't have to have it being flagged in front of my my view. So, which I like, because you get that, not only you get the creative control, you get also the monetary control, who you want to advertise and who you don't.
Sure. Final thing here, what about opening a capsule, says Eric, of some kind of a powder, put in a shot glass with a little bit of olive oil, and can you make a liposome that way?
You'd have to fuse it. If you don't fuse it, it's...
Fuse it. How would you fuse it?
Basically, depending on what it is, he's doing. But let's say he's using vitamin C.
Yeah.
Okay, so take your oil, put it in a jar, put the jar in a pot of water, and let it simmer. So you heat the oil. So as you're heating the oil, you're stirring it. Okay? Now, I bought a hot plate for that reason, because I make my own fusions of oils. So I got a little stir that throws a magnetic stir that spins on the bottom. So I will fuse my, either I'll fuse my oils or I'll cook my extracts down till I get to the oil.
Okay.
So this thing will spin, and so as it's spinning, it's again it's stirring the stuff, so it's compounding the or compacting the molecules in the solution. So as a result, you get a higher concentration of it. So you can cook that right down to a powder, and then you got a super product. You just got to make sure you don't burn it. But if you do something like that, then yeah, it will fuse in the oil, and then it'll have the effect you're looking for.
I want to make some the rosemary solution, and I did one a couple years ago, and I just want to go over. So I got this rosemary bush in my back that's about to overtake the house, right? So I just take the needles off, and what did I remember that I did? I smushed it up like a sriracha kind of a thing,
okay.
And just put it in agave tequila, is that what you told me to do?
Yeah, to extract it. Okay, just so you do, take everything,
yeah.
Your stems, everything, leaves.
Everything.
Okay, put them in a blender,
yeah.
Mush them up in the alcohol, then
eat. Oh, in the alcohol, just mush them up in there.
Just mush them up in the blender for about 10 minutes. Then what you can do,
yeah.
If you want to super concentrate, you got a slow cooker at home?
I do, I got several, yeah, different kinds.
Just get a small slow cooker, put it in. Unless you got a hot plate. If you got a hot plate, you can do that with you. But a slow cooker, because most everybody has a slow cooker.
Like a crock pot, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Put on your medium high in the beginning and keep your eye on it.
Yeah.
Starts getting down low, because you're going to simmer that right down. Starts getting down low, turn into a medium or low heat, and let it simmer down to it's about an eighth of an inch or quarter of an inch from the bottom. And you'll see it will have concentrated into an oil.
Ooh.
Yeah. So then when you take that and you put it in your container, all you need is a little toothpick amount.
Oh, so you're not having to ferment it over months like I did before this.
Oh no, this is you. I mean, there's so many things you can do with that.
Yeah. But you could also just smush it up, put it in a jar. As long as I'm doing it, put that in the cupboard, and then let that sit for a couple months too.
You
could
do it that way too. The blending effect that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be getting the same results whether you let it sit for months or if you blend it for 10 minutes and then strain it.
No kidding. Yeah.
Same thing. So that's what I'm seeing anyway. And again, well, it depends too. If you're using a Everclear alcohol, which is a higher concentration, the solvent is more penetrating. So again, you're going to get even a better yield of oil if you want to do it the way I just explained with the crock pot.
Oh, so you're just getting a good supply of the mush. You put it in the bottom of the crock pot and cook it until it starts...
You're blending it up in the Everclear.
Yeah. You're
filtering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now all you got is liquid. Put that liquid in the crock pot and then just simmer that right down.
Oh, so you're actually getting to a liquid enough, you have enough alcohol so it's liquid and not mushy.
Right.
Yeah.
And once you extract that, once you take the alcohol, you filter out the liquid, when you cook that, the concentration of those properties are off the charts.
I bet. So the oil separates from the water that you're cooking?
The water evaporates, so you're evaporating the water out of the components. So when you get down to the bottom, you're actually got a pharmaceutical grade product here.
Boy, that would be potent, wouldn't it? Wow.
Oh, it'll wake you up in the morning.
Yeah. It's like, boy, there's so many good things going on with the rosemary, isn't there? It's crazy.
The stuff you guys got down there is better than the stuff I'm getting up here. It's more potent.
Well, I can send you some. Send me your address, man.
Yeah, it's more potent. It's exposed to a harsher environment, so it's got a higher antioxidant profile. It protects the liver big time. It protects the brain big time. It supports the heart big time. It's got a little over 13 different antioxidants to it. So, I mean, it is probably one of the go-to ones you want to use. You can even, you can combine that with the, once you make that extract that you're making,
mm-hmm.
It has to just portion off some of the alcohol and leave it aside. Then if you want to take the same concept with the onion and the essential oil.
Oh, there you go.
You can throw some of that in there with it as well. So like I said, there's, I mean, because both the onion and the rosemary will, the rosemary will protect the liver, the onion will clean the liver.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, if you'd like, send me your snail mail, and okay. I'll send you some of the rosemary, man. It'll be very light. It'd be cheap as anything to send to you.
Stuff down there is, because when I was down in Arizona, the ants wouldn't even go near it. I mean, it's
that's right. Well, this stuff, you know, Tony, I haven't touched this plant in 20 years. Not one thing. Droughts, it doesn't matter. It just keeps going, man.
When I was in Arizona, I saw bushes of this stuff. I couldn't, everywhere you looked, there was a bushes of rosemary. And
powerful, man. Poof.
Else did they have? There was a lot there. Nopal, that was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Grapefruits and orange trees and lemon trees everywhere there. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You could live, if it wasn't for the chemtrails down there, and you just lived off of what you could harvest around you. I mean, they had olive trees everywhere, except they were spraying this melatonin on the olive trees because some of these people had this insane idea that because the olives would hit the concrete and stain the concrete, they wanted to.
Oh, great.
I would really leave the bloody thing alone. The olive alone would keep you alive. That
oh, yeah, you
and
could,
the rosemary.
You could live
you
on an olive tree forever. What part of Arizona were you in?
I was in Phoenix.
Oh, really? Phoenix, huh?
It was a good experience. I really liked Phoenix. I met a lot of good people down there. I met a lot of activists down there. And we just clicked on really well with my herbal and alternative background. So
yeah,
I fit right in. And when I was there, I was so impressed with the people I met there, incredibly, whatever like here, basically very, very moderate, very easygoing, you know,
mm-hmm.
Considering all the nonsense that everyone was having to deal with down there. But it was a very good experience. The seeing the red ants walking around and clustering, and then you get to the rosemary, and you see them detour. Like, okay,
okay. Here's a final email. It says, couldn't Patrick add a little bit of DMSO to that? Blended rosemary and make it more absorbable.
Yeah, you can do that. There's more than one way. Sure, you can even do that with the onion.
With the onion thing, right? A little DMSO.
Yeah, but if you're going to add the DMSO, I'm going to tell you dilute it down to a 5% solution because you don't want that to go into your brain and break down your brain. So a 5% solution is very simple: a teaspoon of DMSO to about 95 mils or 100 mils of distilled water, RO water. Dissolve it. Or stir it in there so that it blends, then use it in your mixes because you don't want, and that'll be more than enough to transfer it anywhere you want to go.
Okay, one teaspoon of DMA, 90 milliliter, you guys up there, it's a like close to an ounce, pretty close, isn't it?
That's closer to 3 ounces. When you're doing everything in
Wait a minute,
in pills,
is 1 milliliter 3 ounces?
No, 5 mils is a teaspoon. Okay.
Well, what's the conversion of milliliter to ounces?
Close. 100 mils is a little over 3 ounces. 5 mils would be, like I said, 5 milligrams. You know, a teaspoon of 5 mils and 5 milligrams is the same. So when you're looking at doing everything, if you do everything in tens, which you can do very easily with metric, you'll get a very close, very, very close accuracy to what you're doing. So take a teaspoon, which is 5 mils. And just measure just a little bit over 3 ounces of water, and you can go look up the actual measurements. Not that much over 3 ounces, and mix the two together. Then you're getting a 5% solution.
Oh, I see. I got a little conversion chart here. Let me do it. 95 milliliters. Yeah, you're right. Is 3.2 ounces.
Yeah. So and then just add a teaspoon of the other.
Oh, so then 3.2 ounces volume by ounces by volume, right?
Yeah.
And then to a 1 teaspoon of the DMSO. And that'll give you that solution. Because stronger than that, it could hurt your brain?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're taking a full-strength DMSO, as long as it's below the waist, you can use it full strength. And below, below the chest.
Below the chest, right.
Yes, you run the risk of it because it absorbs so rapidly, it goes into the brain and starts breaking the brain down. So you want to keep it on the safe side.
Yeah, and with you and I, our brains are pretty broken down anyway, so we got to watch, right?
No, I think our brains are probably better.
No, I'm just kidding.
Ours, I think, are more intact than the generation that's...
I totally agree with you. My brain's fine. Thank you very much. Tony P., it's always a pleasure. All right, good job. We didn't get into too much trouble. Once again, next month, let's kind of see if we can hook up.
Because
it happens every month. So let's see if we can start on time next month.
Well, last month was my fault. I overslept. Well, we were on time last month. I was just a week late.
That's right. You were just a week late. All right, kiddo. Thanks for your work. We appreciate it.
One more thing. I forgot. I'm going to be in Merritt, B.C. on the 19th at the Legion at 1 o'clock. For more information, send me an email if you're going to be in the area. We're going to be doing a whole thing on health and covering a variety of
different... Oh, cool. Okay, but tell us where Merritt, B.C. is.
Merritt, B.C. is between Kamloops and Kelowna, B.C., so I'm going to be in that region for Sunday. I'm going to be there.
What
doing
date? This Sunday? This Sunday?
Yeah, it's Sunday coming, so...
Uh-huh.
Forgot to mention that earlier. I was going to tell you about it. We got caught up.
That's all right. So if somebody would like to go and know more about it, they can just... What's your email address?
The gal named Terry Taylor. I can give you her phone number so you can make connections with her to let her know you're coming. Sounds like it's going to be a good event. She's got a lot of people coming to it. So again, if you're in the area or you want to come up and say hi, feel free to do so.
And how would they contact you? Or do you want to go call her? What do you want to do?
Contact me because I don't have the information in front of me right now. Because again, I had problems with this computer this morning. Independs@yahoo.com. Send me an email. And then from there, I'll forward you her information that you can get a hold of.
What fun. So it's INDPENDZ, right?
At yahoo.com.
And it's going to be Sunday in Merritt, B.C.
1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock, Tony Pantelleresco on stage. Be there or be square.
There we go. See, you know the rhyme.
Thanks. I'll see you.
All right.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot. It's always fun. We'll see you tomorrow. We got a great show for you, including, have you ever thought about not fasting, dry fasting? I mean, no food, no water, nothing? Check it out.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.